Do you feel like it's possible to find joy and positive change within veterinary medicine? Are you looking for a community that's striving for fulfillment rather than perfection? Hey there, I'm Dr. Stacy Cordovano, and I want veterinarians to learn to be happier, healthier, wealthier, and more grateful for the lives that we've created. On this podcast, I will speak with outside-of-the-box thinkers to hear new ideas on ways to improve our day-to-day life. Welcome to The Whole Veterinarian. Hey everyone, I'm excited to introduce you today to Christina Malloy. Christina is the owner of Therapy Unleashed and is a licensed independent clinical social worker who specializes in the wellness of veterinary professionals. Prior to launching Therapy Unleashed, Christina worked as a veterinary social worker at a large specialty and emergency hospital in Massachusetts. She launched Therapy Unleashed to make veterinary social work more accessible to smaller, locally owned veterinary businesses. She supports teams by offering individual support to staff, support groups, trainings, and empowers veterinary professionals to create the work-life balance they want. We had a great chat about ways in which leadership and individuals can support each other in the workplace, and I think there are some really awesome takeaways, so I hope you enjoy our conversation. Make sure to check the show notes for her full bio and ways to connect with her and some of the resources that we talked about today. Thanks again to Christina for joining me. Hi, Christina. Thank you for being here with me today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me today.
I'm excited to chat. We connected on Instagram, and I've been loving all of the content that you put out. And I saw that you are able to offer therapy and coaching services to veterinarians. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I had to get you on to share you as a resource with my colleagues and also just learn a little bit more about what you do on a day-to-day basis. So I'd love if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into our veterinary medicine space.
Sure, I would love to. So I first got into VetMed as a client care representative. I was preparing for vet school, and that's kind of just where I ended up during that process. And while I was there, I really fell in love with the human-animal bond. And so I knew that that was going to be somehow involved in my future, my career. And I originally was planning to, after I decided to pursue that, I was going to become a therapist and have a therapy dog and involve the human-animal bond in that way. And while I was working in VetMed, I was there for quite a few years throughout school and while I was getting my master's. And I really just saw the need for support within the veterinary community, both for clients and for staff. And that's kind of when I discovered the world of veterinary social work and that it was a thing. And I just knew immediately, I was like, this is the track that I'm supposed to be on. This is for me. And that's how I got into this.
Awesome. Yeah, I think some veterinarians don't even really know that it's a thing. I'd actually love to hear you kind of describe your role. And, you know, I know you worked in a different role previously to where you are now. So maybe just kind of elaborate on what you've done and what you're currently doing.
Sure. So what I was doing, I was a veterinary social worker at a large emergency and specialty hospital. And I feel like that's the space that you'll typically find a veterinary social worker. They're usually at a larger hospital, often a corporate company. And they have two purposes in that role. One is to support the clients. I feel like most of the veterinary social workers that I know are there to support the clients. And then you'll find a few that also support the staff. And so in my role, it was pretty evenly split with supporting the staff and supporting the clients. And then COVID hit. And the majority of the support that I was offering was to the staff. Because we all know how much of a struggle it was for our community to go through that. And so the role eventually evolved to mostly just supporting staff. And then after a few years, I kind of realized there was a bigger need for it. And I saw an opportunity to say, hey, I can be this resource for people. You know, I'm a trained therapist, so I have that background, but I also understand what it's like to work in this field and the stressors that you face and the burnout. You know, I became burned out in the client care. I really did. So I've seen it, I've experienced it. And so now I'm kind of on my own, but offering this resource to individuals through either therapy or coaching, which are not the same. You know, they're different offerings, but also to different hospitals where I can support their staff. It's almost like a temporary member of the team where I can be there to support the team.
Okay, I love that. And I definitely want to get to your offerings, but I first want to ask, in your experience in all those years and then currently, what are like some of the top things that you see veterinarians facing? I know you mentioned burnout and, you know, we talk about a lot of these things, but I'd kind of love to hear from your perspective what veterinarians are struggling with in the day-to-day, like real life.
Of course, burnout. Burnout and compassion fatigue are obviously the number one, number two things that we tend to see. But what we don't realize is necessarily what's causing those. So what I see are a lack of boundaries, and that is often because of unclear expectations. And those two things contribute to the burnout, they contribute to the compassion fatigue. And if you don't know what your expectations are from your employer, how are you expected to carry out boundaries, right? If you are constantly staying hours past when your shift ends or constantly picking up extra shifts, is it because you're expected to do that? Or are you afraid of the consequences of what happens if you don't do that? So learning about the expectations that your employer has for you can help you set those boundaries, can help you determine, okay, yeah, I can leave on time. You know, it's not expected that I stay so many hours after my shift ends every single day. Of course, it's going to happen, but, you know, how are you going to replenish yourself and the needs that you have? If you're constantly at work for 12, 13 hours a day, how are you sleeping? How are you eating healthy? How are you spending time with your family and doing those activities that allow you to rest so that you can keep going and can have a sustainable career in vet med? And that's what leads to burnout. And so it's really the boundaries. For me, I would say for me, the number one thing that I like to work with people on is setting those boundaries so that they can have that work-life balance that conducive to what they want. I mean, everybody's work-life balance is going to be different. Some people want to be at work more, and that's totally okay, right? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But creating the environment that allows you to thrive is really important.
Within that explanation, I sort of hear leadership skills or maybe a lack of leadership in where you're working. And then also that ties into the idea of workplace culture. I mean, we know that a poor or negative workplace culture has like such a huge impact on an individual's well-being. I'm curious your thoughts on what either makes a bad one or like what are some things people can focus on as leaders in their practice to make a more positive workplace culture? Obviously, clear expectations. We got that one.
Clear expectations, for sure. Offering support to staff. And that doesn't have to be someone like me, right? It can just be listening, right? So often when I come into a hospital or a setting where they want to improve workplace culture or whatever it might be, you know, the leader generally have an idea of the things that they want the staff to work on. But if I check in with the staff and I ask them what their concerns are, what they're struggling with, it doesn't always line up. Mm-hmm. So really just listening to your team, giving them a voice and making them feel like they have, you know, some control over the environment that they work in or just that their opinion matters, can also go a really long way with creating a positive work environment that people want to be a part of.
And so what does that look like in real life? You are asking people to literally sit down together. You are asking for feedback via some forms, or how does that look when you recommend this to people?
I think this is going to be different for every hospital.
Sure.
And depending on the size of the hospital, but even small groups, like if you're comfortable sitting down with a couple members of your team and asking them how things are going, you know, what things could change, what they could work on, But you have to be open to hearing what they say, right, is the key part to this. We have to be open to feedback. So often people don't express what they need because there's some type of fear, whether it's they're afraid of a consequence or just generally they're in an environment where they feel like they can't speak up when something is uncomfortable or not right or something is, you know, not the way that they want it to be. So really the biggest thing that you can do is just having an open platform and letting people share without making them feel like their opinions are not important, without making them feel like what they have to say doesn't matter, because it does.
Yeah. You're hitting on my love language of psychological safety. So I'm all about that idea. Okay. I want to switch gears a little bit. I think most of us have experienced hearing from colleagues or seeing colleagues that may not be thriving. Maybe they've complained to us, and it doesn't even have to be to a, you know, extreme level. Do you have any tips for people to help support our colleagues? Like, maybe our leadership isn't doing a great job of creating a positive work culture, and maybe we see a colleague or even like talk to a classmate that's far away that we don't even see in person that really isn't doing the self-care work, doesn't have great boundaries. Do you have any suggestions for people on how to support their friends that are in these situations?
Really, one of the best things that you can do is just talk to them, ask them how they're doing. So often we find, maybe because we don't want to know that someone is suffering, but we have these reservations about reaching out and saying, hey, I noticed you were a little off this week. Is everything okay? You know, is there something you want to talk about? We frequently hear that people, you know, they suffer in silence, right? And it's when people start talking and asking questions that so many people in our community can relate to the same thing, right? If you have one person that's saying, I'm struggling to maintain a healthy work-life balance, or I'm struggling with my caseload, or whatever it might be, if you say something, so many other people are going to be like, you know what? I have a hard time with that too. Just reaching out. Really, it sounds so simple, but it's one thing that we don't always do. And sometimes it's because we don't always have the emotional capacity, right? If we're also having a hard time, it's really hard to support someone else. And so figuring out what works for you, how much you're able to support someone, but really that individual support, that friendship, that camaraderie can go so much farther than we think it can. Because you notice, you feel noticed. If someone says, hey, I can see you, I see that you're suffering, that person can say, oh, you know what? I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. And actually the point about recognizing your own bandwidth, I think, is an important point, because there's probably a lot of times that we feel like we should be doing more, but like you said, we might be dealing with our own stuff. And so kind of give ourselves some grace if we're not being the most supportive in that moment. That's a great point. Another resource, of course, would be you or someone like you. So let's talk a little bit more about what you are doing, both locally in person, and then what you are able to help people with virtually.
Sure. So I would say that the main focus of my business and what I do is offering traveling veterinary social work to smaller local hospitals that may not have had the opportunity or the resources to hire someone full time. Right. Most smaller hospitals don't need a full-time veterinary social worker. Mm-hmm. And what I'm doing allows people to have me or someone like me come in once a week, once a month, offering that support to their team without the financial burden of hiring somebody full-time. Then I get to help all of the individuals on that team, everyone who wants that support, and their clients if they also want to add that in. And so I would say that's the majority of how I spend my time. But what I also offer is individual support through therapy, which is, you know, more clinical work. I think so often in my former role, one of the requests that I had most from staff was help finding a therapist. Was number one, and then help finding a therapist that understood what it was like to work in this field, which is not common, right? There are not many people that are going to understand that. So that's kind of where I got the idea for this business in the first place. So that's the therapy aspect. And then the coaching aspect is non-clinical. So it's not therapy, but it is something that can help people who are maybe considering a change within the field or possibly out of it. Someone who is looking for extra support to help build that work-life balance without a clinical focus on it, because we don't always need that, right? So we don't always need the clinical support, but sometimes we just need someone else to bounce ideas off of and help you figure out the best path for you.
Yeah, great. And so the therapy services are in Massachusetts only, is that correct?
That's correct, because of licensing laws. Sure. So therapy is only for Massachusetts residents. Coaching, there are no restrictions, so anyone can sign up for that.
And I saw on your website, you have a really great graphic, like differentiating the two. So I will make sure to link that because I thought that was really helpful. And then the in-person social work for teams is New England area?
Predominantly New England, places that I can drive to. I think the preference is to do that in person because I think it just has a bigger impact. Sure. But there is an option to do virtual support as well, especially if I'm offering individual support to each team member. That's pretty easy to do, you know, virtually. It's a lot more of the groups with the teams, whether it's by department or, we have a group for the support staff, a group for the doctors. It's a little bit harder to do virtually, but I can offer it virtually, but mostly I like to do it in person.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think your point about finding someone to talk to that knows the field is important because, you know, things are different for for us and they're hard to understand. So yeah. I'm so glad that you are able to offer the service. I'm happy to share it with listeners and get the word out further. I ask all guests, what is one small thing that has brought you joy this past week?
I like that question. I know this is going to sound kind of cliche, but honestly, the sun being out this week in Boston, it's really lifted my mood and making me excited for the spring and like t-shirts and being outside.
Yeah, I hear you. It's the same here. And it's like finally like a hint of spring is coming. Okay, so where can people find more about you and more content and more information?
So Instagram is a great place to find me and reach out to me, Therapy Unleashed. And if you want to find additional information on what I offer, how to contact me, or any questions that you might have, my website is therapyunleashedllc.com.
Perfect. Anything else you want to leave the veterinary community with? Any other tidbits or final nuggets?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much, right? There's so much that I want to share, but just honestly, knowing that you're not alone when you really might feel like you are. And if you feel alone, reach out. There are resources. I know everyone kind of knows about Not One More Vet Now, but they really have such a comprehensive list of resources on their website as well. Mm-hmm. So they have like local options and different ways that you can find support. And then I hope everyone knows now, but they might not know. You can call 988 for any type of mental health, whether it's an emergency or crisis. It's like 911, but for mental health needs. And so making sure everyone in our field knows that's available is really important to me.
Yeah, great. Perfect. And I'll make sure to link those as well. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. I think it's actually been really actionable. I know we kind of did a high overview, but I think there were some really actionable nuggets and I appreciate that. And I know listeners do as well. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you again so much for the time and energy you share with me. I so appreciate you listening. If you want to find out more from me, check out thewholeveterinarian.com or find me on Instagram at thewholeveterinarian. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please do me a favor and share it with one friend or colleague who you think might benefit. I hope you have a great week and I will talk to you again soon.